This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. We led off the show talking about LSU's 11-1 run rule victory last night over UNO, helping us break down all things Bayou Bengals on the diamond, also the rest of the SEC. Mark Etheridge, D1Baseball.com, SEC writer. Mark, always thankful for the time. How's it going, man?
Going great. I am in the midst of my 10-day, 10-game, 10-venue trip, so it's a little wild right now. I'm in Nashville. Lipscomb beat Memphis in extra innings, and we'll see Vanderbilt and Texas A&M tomorrow before heading to Austin to see LSU and Texas Friday night, which is probably what you want to talk about.
Man, oh man, that is definitely a series that we had circled early on here, looking forward to getting to it. And then we saw, obviously, Texas ran into a little bit of a buzzsaw midweek yesterday. Also, Tennessee, two top teams in the SEC, going down to midweek opponents.
Yeah, it was. I think part of that is it's just hard to be up every game. And when you have a team like you go through and have games like the SEC had this past weekend, where just about everyone was in a dogfight, right? It's really hard to think, okay, well, we got another one coming up next weekend, but we still have to take this midweek team seriously. And I think we saw that. You know, Kentucky lost, Texas lost, Tennessee lost, Oklahoma was in a one-run game, Alabama went to extra innings, Ole Miss lost, although they were playing Southern Miss, so no, I won't go there. But I do think that that it's really hard to have your best, especially if you think, hey, we've been whipping these midweek teams all year, we can just show up and do it. And, to a lot of these clubs, that's their Super Bowl, man. I mean, UTSA knocking off Texas, you think that didn't mean a lot? ETSU stopping Tennessee's winning streak, unbeaten streak. I mean, those are program-defining moments for those teams. And, for those mid-majors, while at the SEC, you're just kind of you're just trying not to lose, right? And I think when you get those, you put those things together, sometimes you get results like that.
When you look at a guy like last night for LSU that came up in the hero mode, the depth on this team is unbelievable. But Ethan Fry ended the game in the seventh on a second home run of the night, also had a 3-1 shot when he was coming into pinch hit in the fifth inning. So just Jay Johnson, we were talking about earlier, just the depth of the arms and the batting order that he has at his disposal this year is truly unreal.
Yeah, that's certainly the difference. People ask me all the time, how is LSU different than they were a year ago? And, there were some good players on last year's team. The difference is just how many of them there are. And if somebody is not, somebody's fighting a little bit, you don't have to stick with them because there are other options, even during a game, right? So I feel like that's what's different about LSU from a lineup perspective. And then on the mound, I mean, the rotation last year, you had two really good options, and then it certainly dropped off. This year, I mean, it's really interesting to see how William Schmidt's going to be used. Connor Ware's had his moments. He basically was no-hitting DBU when he left the game. All of these different opportunities to come in and help even if they're not starting, you've just got so many weapons that they can go to. And that's going to be fascinating this weekend, because Texas really doesn't have that. Their frontline guys are really good. But what happens when they go to the bullpen? I think that's where all of this is going to start, right? We're going to find out how this LSU-Texas series is going to go as soon as Texas makes a pitching change.
Your scouting report, Mark, of Texas kind of early on this season, I know that they were a preseason top 25 team, but climbing all the way into the top 10 in Coach Schlossnagel's first year, kind of what can Tiger fans expect from this Texas squad in Austin this weekend?
Yeah, if you recall playing Texas A&M the last couple of years under Schlossnagel, they take a ton of pitches. They almost always take the first pitch. They fight off a lot of two-strike pitches, just great plate discipline. They're long games. They're frustrating for the opponent because they are going to make you throw strikes. They're not going to chase. And, you know, LSU's good enough. The pitchers have good enough stuff that they can get chases in the zone, and that's how you beat that offense. So then on the mound, that's where the questions were for Texas heading into this season. They lost a lot of guys, and the ones they had returning, maybe they weren't, you know, SEC starter caliber. So the question was, okay, you have all these unknowns. What's going to happen? Well, Max Wiener is the pitching coach for Texas. He was at A&M, you recall, last year, and did a phenomenal job turning that staff around, and he's doing something similar with Texas. The question is going to be that their frontline guys are going to stack up pretty well. It's what happens, right? And if Jared Spencer, who's their ace, if he's at 90 pitches in the fifth inning, right, what happens? Okay, that to me is how this series will be decided. If Texas can find some bullpen outs, they got a shot. If it doesn't go well, then LSU is going to have a really good chance to get a road series win.
Yeah, Mark, you mentioned Jared Spencer. I want to get your evaluation of him, the Friday guy, because Cade Anderson versus Spencer, you know, it's always going to be great matchups on the mound Friday nights because everyone throws their best pitcher, their ace, and there's a ton of great aces in the SEC. Jared Spencer, a senior lefty, he's got a 2.36 ERA so far this season, 2-0 record, 26 and two-thirds innings pitched, 21 hits, 7 earned runs, 36 strikeouts, really jumps off the page. I want to get your evaluation of Jared Spencer and what Tiger fans can expect from him on the mound Friday night.
It's a big arm. I mean, it's going to be high 90s. He's got a wipeout slider. The question for him, one, has just been he's been injured a lot. It's durability, and it looks like he's healthy now. But he was a reliever, and that kind of stuff plays great out of the bullpen. You come in and just go max effort, right, because you're only going to face, you know, you're only going to throw 30 pitches. How does that hold up over time? And that's been the big question, you know, when he was named the Friday night starter, how would his stuff hold? Okay. A lot of people are good one time through the lineup. What happens the second or even the third time as a starter? That was pretty good last week against Mississippi State, which is, you know, the best opponent he's faced. I feel like that LSU's the goal there for LSU is to take a page out of what Texas does and try to get into that bullpen, take pitches, be patient, and let's try to drive him out of there in the fifth inning, and then, you know, take your chances with the next guy. And I kind of feel like that's going to be what they try to do, based on, you know, the proverbial strength of the Texas team, is certainly from a pitching staff, certainly that rotation. So let's get them out and move on.
I know you got to be looking forward to this matchup starting on Friday. You're going to be in Austin for it. Just curious what you know about the home crowd there. I know Texas fans just as crazy as LSU, of course, but what are their crowds like for baseball games at their ballpark?
Yeah, it's my first trip for baseball there, so okay. I'll find out along with you. But from what others on our D1 staff have led me to believe, they are really excited about this whole SEC move. Obviously, football helped that, and now with the new coach, he's had a lot of success. They only lost their second game last night. They lost opening day and then didn't lose again until last night. So they're having a lot of success, and they went into Mississippi State and got a 3-game sweep on the road. They're feeling really confident, and now Big Bad LSU comes in, you know, one of the top teams in the country. That place is going to be rocking.
And Mark, looking at the Texas offense, they're hitting .296 as a team. They're led by Ethan Mendoza, their second baseman, who's been hitting leadoff a little bit for them, hitting .406 on the season. I mean, that's kind of prototypical leadoff hitter stuff. But also Ryland Galvin, who's their catcher, leads the team with 7 home runs. Just a pretty solid all-around offense. That I know that LSU's pitching staff has been really great so far this year, but this feels like the first real test.
Yeah, Texas has actually hit the ball better away from home. It's a pitcher's park at Dish Falk. And certainly they had some cold weather that kind of skewed some stats as well. But they went to Las Vegas and played three pretty good opponents and lit up the scoreboard. They also had games in Arlington early in the year and had some good offense there. So it's I think the numbers don't really tell the whole story. I think they're a potent offense that's going to give LSU trouble. I do think, though, that if I had to compare the offenses, I like what LSU's doing. I mean, with Curiel at the top of the lineup, Jared Jones, you just can't pitch to him right now. And then the slugger du jour, right? Whoever steps up, one day it's Fry, another day it's Pearson, another day it's Brown or whoever's Dickinson, whoever's really hot that day. And that's the advantage that I think LSU has. They've just got more people who can hurt you with the bat.
Mark, 4 teams in the SEC with the 3-0 conference record to start the slate, and they're all playing each other. LSU versus Texas, and then Tennessee versus Alabama. I mean, yes, LSU-Texas is the top 10 matchup. Alabama's just outside the top 10 at number 12, but that's still going to be a fun series against Tennessee. What are your thoughts on just this weekend in SEC play, and what else you're kind of looking out for?
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee's really good, dude. I mean, I saw them Friday night against Florida, and that place, talking about electric atmosphere. Tennessee's got it rolling with their renovations, and it's a construction zone, and it's kind of rough in places, and I think their fans have kind of embraced that. And they would have beat anybody in the country Friday night. And with Liam Doyle, he's their ace, big left-hander, throws really hard. And then Nate Snead, who was a big bullpen piece last year, has really improved from last year to this year. And he was pretty good last year. So they're going to take on an Alabama team. And I actually saw Alabama last night, Tuscaloosa. They had a 10th inning walk-off home run from Cade Snell to beat South Alabama. I would say a really solid, tough, don't give you anything kind of team. And they also have Justin LeBron, who might be the best player in the country, their shortstop. The question for them will be, can they pitch well enough to stay in the game against a team like Tennessee? Can anyone, right? Because Florida, we thought they would have a great shot, and they didn't after the first day. So I think that's an incredible matchup. It's in Tuscaloosa, and Alabama won the series from Tennessee last year, and by a quirk of scheduling with the expansion, they're repeating it at Sewell Thomas again this year. So I think Alabama's going to be competitive with them, but Tennessee's the best team in the country right now. So you got to pick them if against anyone.
And Mark, you also you mentioned a little bit about Derek Curiel. I know he's a highly touted freshman coming in. A lot was expected of him, but even what he's doing right now seems to go above and beyond what expectations were for this kid. I love the fact he's batting .434 and he's been on base every single game for the Tigers this season, just really out of sight.
Yeah, we're kind of running out of superlatives, aren't we? I mean, he's been doing this since fall practice, and he picked up opening day, and now SEC play starts, and he's going to see some better pitching than he's seen, but he's seen really good pitching in practice, and he handles that too. So I feel like he's just going to keep rolling, and he's one of these precocious kids that you don't think there's any way he can be a first year player, and he's just taking the next step. But certainly he looks like the next great LSU superstar, and he's well on his way to getting there.
Definitely appreciate the time, Mark. So thankful you stepped off a plane and just, checking into a hotel and come on and join us. Thanks so much. Hope you get some good eats tonight.
Yeah, planning on it, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Mark.
Mark Etheridge, D1Baseball.com, SEC writer. You can check him out at Mark Etheridge on Twitter.